Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
Welcome to the GSMC Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Mark Souza, and with me is my co-host, Jeff Malinoff. How's it going, Jeff?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, minus this atrocious weather we've been experiencing outside.
Yeah, it's not been safe to drive in.
No, and we're from California, so we're kind of, what's the right word for this? We just don't like it when the weather's not perfect. We're a little sensitive to adverse conditions. This is probably a normal day in, I don't know, the Midwest, possibly. But, yeah, we also in California have bad weather days, believe it or not. Anyways, we are going to talk about a lot of things today, including a team in England that's having a bad, bad week. That is Chelsea. We'll talk about their humiliating loss and what that means.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad.
We'll talk about what that means going forward in their season and in their future of their club. I mean, we'll dive into it, but this could be a turning point for sure. We'll also talk about Manchester City on the flip side, an impressive win, a record tying win for one of their players. We'll talk about Liverpool as we discuss the English Premier League, the race to win the league. Liverpool, Tottenham. Tottenham doing well so far. Despite having some injuries, we'll talk about that and their recent performances. We'll talk about other Champions League matchups too, including PSG and Manchester United. We'll talk about the first disallowed goal in Champions League history down the road. Talk about Sergio Ramos and a possible suspension for something he did against Ajax in the Champions League. And we'll talk about Barcelona, Juventus, and other top dogs in Europe and how they are currently doing. But first, we got to start off in England, in London. We got to talk about Chelsea. They suffer a 6-0.
Ouch, 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 ouch.
Humiliating defeat at the hands of Manchester City. And I have to say, Jeff, it could have been worse. It could have been double digits.
Do you remember in Rocky IV where everyone's yelling stop the fight when Apollo Creed's getting killed?
Yeah.
That's exactly what this was.
They could have stopped the fight at halftime where it was 4-0.
Yeah. Someone's just saying stop the fight and then they're dead in the arms of Rocky. That's basically what happened to Chelsea.
If he dies,
so City, he dies. We're going to look into City. We're going to take a peek into them in this game a little closer in a minute. But first, we got to talk about Chelsea. They lose 6-0. Yeah. It's their most humiliating loss that they have suffered since 1991 when they lost 7-0 to a Nottingham Forest team. That was a different era in soccer completely. Yeah. That was when Nottingham Forest was a relevant English team. They haven't been for quite some time. So this is the worst defeat that they have suffered since 91. They have conceded 4 goals or more in consecutive away matches, Chelsea, that is. Mauricio Sarri came in. We knew that he was an offensive-minded coach from Italy. We knew that he was going to come in with a flair and an attacking style different than their previous coach, Antonio Conte, who was often regarded as too defensive-minded, too stubborn, but ultimately he got results. So, with that being said, does Chelsea need to move on from Mauricio Sarri? Is this a loss that they just simply cannot come back from? What is your thoughts, Jeff?
Well, as soon as Eden Hazard said, like, I want to go to Madrid, this started happening, like this downhill slump. I could be wrong on that, but it just, to me, it felt like that. And with that, I say, if I think it's time, I think it's time to move on. Like, I look at Manchester United. When they got a new coach, they did amazing. They had a great turnaround. So
yeah,
why can't you think you can do the same thing in Chelsea? Like when you lose that badly, it just seems like something with the coach is wrong, because it's not just the players out on the pitch. It's more than that. It's behind the scenes kind of stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of times a change in voice helps.
Yeah, just a change is always good. Sometimes it's like questionable why you would change it in some situations, but this one, I feel like Chelsea needs a change.
I agree with you that I think a change is necessary. Remember, they lost to Bournemouth 4-0.
Yeah, this is not the first time they've been shut out like this, so something needs to change.
And look, Manchester City embarrasses a lot of teams, right? They're a great team. But when you're Chelsea, when you're supposed to be on the same standard as a Manchester City,
yeah,
that's embarrassing.
Yeah. When you're up there with the legacy Chelsea has, like, this is unacceptable. This is supposed to be a team of excellence, and now you look like you should be in the second league rather than the first.
So with that loss and the results from this last weekend, Chelsea has now dropped to sixth place, which would qualify them for Europa League next year if they maintain this. They should no doubt be in the Europa League at least, but we know Chelsea's a club that making the Europa League, getting fifth or sixth in the league, is a failure season for them. They're too big of a club to accept that mediocrity. And for them, their standards, fifth and sixth are mediocre results. So they're now behind Manchester United. They're tied with Arsenal, but their arrow seems to be pointing down, where Manchester United, we talked about. You talked about their coaching change and how great that's been. They have not lost a league game since the coaching change. It's been 2 months now. So Manchester United is trending in the right direction.
Something works. The change worked. So it's only, like, logical to think, oh, maybe Chelsea needs that same kind of change.
Here's my question for you.
Go for it.
Mauricio Sarri plays a very specific style of soccer, and he brought in very specific players for it.
Oh, for his – I see what you're saying.
So would a change in manager actually be futile at this point in the season, because they actually do have the players to fit, at least in Mauricio Sarri's eyes, the style of play that they want to play? So could a new manager actually change really much, or is this just really who they are?
Oh, that's a good question, because, like,
they're so specific. Like, they're
– it's a very specific – yeah, it's
Jorginho,
a very specific –
Jorginho, for example, is –
do you think it's specific to a fault, though?
I do.
Like, it's
I
easy
do,
to,
because
it's easy to play against? Like, it's
do,
a plan against?
I do think it's specific to a fault for two reasons. Because Mauricio Sarri does not have a plan B. Mm. When plan A doesn't work, they lose.
It's panic.
Yeah, it's
okay.
It's like Manchester City. Yes, they're a great team. Yes, they're more talented than Chelsea. But Manchester City can switch it up. Liverpool, we've seen Liverpool play a couple different formations. We've seen them move players around.
That's why we're being in first or second,
because
they adapt.
Sometimes things get stale, right? Yeah. Like
great coach needs to adapt.
Yes, because teams adapt to you, so it's how do you counterpunch, right?
Exactly.
So it's like, yes, this style worked for the first 2 months of the season because it was new and you were beating teams based on...
You're being stubborn now.
Well, it was the novelty, right?
Right.
Like, oh, we don't know how to defend against this team, but now we've seen them play 30 games and we know exactly how to defend this team. So now,
yeah,
what are you going to do tactically to get past it? And it just seems like Mauricio Sarri is, to a fault, that stubborn. And players like Jorginho, I mentioned his name, Jorginho, he brought with him. Mauricio Sarri brought Jorginho with him from his club team in Italy. And Jorginho has just been a massive failure in the Premier League after such a glamorous start. And he might be the poster boy for the team on no counterpunch. Because when he first came into the English Premier League, he did really well. He was the playmaker for that team. He's mm-hmm. been completely shut out the last month or two of the season. He doesn't make any plays. He's a liability defensively in the center midfield. That's why I say I don't know if a coaching change will help. I just don't know.
Because they're already, like, set up for failure.
They're set up to play the way that they're playing. They're just – they don't have another plan.
But since they don't have a plan, they are always set up for failure basically every time they step onto the pitch.
And we don't know if some of these guys could adapt to a different style.
But doesn't that make sure, like, you get a great coach that knows how to – have people adapt?
Right.
So, or do you just like kind of give up on the season?
Well, they're too big of a brand. You cannot give up on the season because, yes, sixth place is terrible for Chelsea.
It seems like they're doomed for failure already.
Well, let me tell you this. Sixth place is terrible for Chelsea, but if they finished worse than that, that would be a colossal failure. I'm talking about branding. I'm talking about marketing. If they fell out of
interest,
the top six, mm-hmm. if they fell out of Europa, if they didn't play in a European competition next year, you're basically West Ham United. You're basically Bournemouth. You're basically
Crystal Palace. You're second tier.
You're a mid-table team. Yeah, you're a mid-table team that all you have to look forward to that season is domestic tournaments. But Chelsea's too big of a club, too big of a brand to not play in Europe. Yes,
I get that.
Yes, Europa is a step down from Champions League, but it's a far step up from not playing in a international tournament at all.
Right.
Far step up.
It just sounds like how you were describing, and I agree with you on a lot of those points, is that they can't win in that they're in a lose-lose situation.
They're in a tough situation.
Like this summer, if they keep this coach and this season ends like with them barely making the Euro Cup, they need a huge like change in scenery and change as coaches and teammates and everything when the summer hits. They need to do something in the transfer window.
I will say that I think Mauricio Sarri is going to be fired no matter I wouldn't say no matter what.
Is it only a matter of time or not no matter what?
I wouldn't say no matter what, but I will say that he will be fired.
Will you be shocked if he kept his job basically?
Yeah, because if he keeps his job, I think that would mean that they made a really good run at the end of the season to like finish in the top four.
But wouldn't that be also like in denial of how bad they had their downs? Because shouldn't their downs be more looked at than their ups?
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate that sounds so negative, but it's true when you're looking at a coaching standpoint. Everyone's going to have their ups, of course, but the downs are like, how do they rise up from those downs? If they can't really rise up from those downs, they barely rise up, then you got to make a change.
I would assume, and I'm gonna give you some news or some information that might change how you feel about this, mm-hmm. or that might make you agree with me. I don't think that Mauricio Sarri lasts until March.
So less than a month.
I don't think he lasts for another 2 weeks. And here is who they play. Are you ready for this?
It sounds like they're going to lose a lot.
So today they begin their round of 32 in the Europa League, okay?
Okay.
They play Malmo FF, which is a Swedish team, okay?
I think so. They should win that.
They should win that. If they lose that, he's done.
He's fired right off the right.
100%. Mm-hmm. I think if they lose today, he's out. Like, I don't think he makes it one more game.
After a 6-0 loss, yeah, that would be like the final straw.
So let's say he wins, okay? This weekend, Chelsea and Manchester United play in the English FA Cup. So this is a cup game.
Yikes. That's going to be a tall glass of water to order.
This game is at home. If Chelsea lose at home to Man United, I think he's done. Let's say he wins that game. Let's just say he does. Then they play the second leg against Malmo.
Well, let me ask you. Do you think they're going to beat United or do you think it's going to be a long shot?
I don't think they're going to beat United.
That's what I thought.
I would be... I'm not going to say shocked, but I would be.
Oh, okay.
Man United coming off a loss that we'll talk about in a minute. They're still playing very good. Like, they're still very confident bunch.
It was kind of a devastating loss, but continue.
But they also lost to a team in a higher tier 100%. Than Chelsea at this moment in time.
Still a disappointment loss.
So let's say Chelsea wins against Man United, okay?
Okay.
Then they play the second leg against Malmo. Let's say they take care of business, they advance, okay?
Okay.
In the two legs, they take care of business. You know who they play on the 24th this month?
I have a feeling I think they're going to be really good.
It's for a final. It's for the League Cup in England. It's for the League Cup final.
Oh. Then I think
They've gotten this far. They've done really well, but then, this is the final.
Then I think I know who it is.
Who is it?
Just tell me.
Man City.
That's what I thought. Okay.
They play them again.
That's what I...
And
I
after,
had
that,
a, yeah.
after that thrashing, that humiliation, and it's a it's at Wembley, so it's
so
a...
So if they get shut out again... I think that's the last straw.
Yes. What if they get embarrassed? Exactly.
If they get embarrassed, he's done for good.
Yeah. What if they lose another 3-4-5-0-6-0?
But how his schedule looks like going into that game, I don't think he survives.
Oh, I'm not even done yet.
I don't see him surviving until Manchester City.
But let's say he loses that game in the final, because I don't think anybody expects him to win that game.
Let's say he puts up a fight.
Yeah. Let's say they lose 2-0, 2-1.
Yeah. Okay. 2-1 sounds a lot better. Okay.
You know who they play 3 days later?
Is it Manchester City
it's
again?
It's Tottenham.
Oh. Well, they were pretty hot even without Kane.
Yeah, Tottenham's been on fire. They've been really good.
We did not expect that, by the way. Our podcast, we were thinking they were dead, but now they're rising from the ashes.
This is what I'm looking at here. The rest of this month: Malmo, United, Malmo, City, Tottenham. He could lose three of those games and he'd be done.
To be honest, he could lose all of them. Maybe not against the Swedish team. Four out of five.
If he loses today, he could lose them all.
I don't think he sees any of the other games if he loses today.
Yeah.
I think as soon as he walks into the locker room after that game, if they lose, he's going to have his stuff all packed up ready to go.
If he can make it till March, he might have a chance. In March, their schedule gets a little bit easier. They play Fulham. They play Wolves.
But you don't even see him making it to March because of this tough schedule.
Here's the thing, though. Listen to who they play. Fulham, Wolves, Everton, and Cardiff. Those teams are
middle to low.
Yeah, they're fighters.
The Wolves especially.
And Wolves have beaten them already. Mm-hmm. So they do have something on them. However, that run of four games in March, because that's all they play in March,
right.
That would be a good time if they were going to make a change to do that before the Fulham game, because Fulham is a very weak team. Mm-hmm. You hope you can bring in a new coach because they have a week off.
Aren't they in the delegation?
Well, they have a week between Tottenham and Fulham. If they were to make a change, they could do it, have a full week of practice, get a relatively easy game against Fulham.
Kind of like a scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, you know, every game in the EPL is tough, but Fulham has got to be one of the easiest games.
Aren't they in last?
They are not in last. That is Huddersfield, but they are in second to last.
So they're in the delegation.
They're comfortably in second to last.
So
they're
yeah.
7 points.
They're getting delegated is basically what you're saying.
Relegated, yes.
Relegated, sorry.
They're second. Okay, so let's look at the table now that we're on it. Huddersfield is at 11 points. So they're done. They're going down. They could probably win the rest of the game and still go down.
Didn't you say they're maybe had the lowest points in league history?
They might. I think the lowest in league history is 17 points. They have 11. They're on pace.
Wow.
Depending on what they do in their next couple of games, they could be on pace to break that record. If they win one or two of these games, then it won't be a thing.
Right.
But Fulham is at 17 points. Ahead of Fulham, Southampton, who is also currently in the relegation zone, 24.
Oh, so there's no way.
Yeah, so Fulham's comfortably behind.
It's a foregone conclusion they're being relegated.
Let's put it this way. For Huddersfield, they would have to, if they doubled their points right now, they'd still be in the relegation zone.
just how that absurd that sounds.
And if they tripled their points right now, they wouldn't be completely safe from getting relegated. They'd be out of the zone, but they would still be.
They would have, 33 points?
They'd have 33, and it'd put them at 12th. So they'd be.
Oh, my God.
They'd be comfortable because there'd be a lot of teams below them, but they still wouldn't be like, oh, we can just kind of cake it the rest of the season. Like, they'd have to get some results.
That's borderline embarrassing. Well, yeah. I'm sorry, that's not borderline. It is embarrassing.
But as for Chelsea, man, that loss was embarrassing to City. This one's
more embarrassing because of the legacy Chelsea
has. It might
be
better to just rip the Band-Aid off. Mauricio Sarri, I don't think, is cut out for the EPL. He hasn't shown to make adjustments. When plan A doesn't work, he doesn't have a plan B. It sounds like he's too stubborn
to make adjustments.
And you know what? The game against the Wolves where he first lost 2-1, they were winning that game 1-0. Wolves found them out. Like, halfway through that game, you could see there was a change. Like, it was
that
like,
really gives credit to the coach more than
yeah,
anything
Yeah, they figured
else.
Them out. They changed their philosophy. And then Mauricio Sarri had no counterpunch to it. So,
because it sounds like I said, he's kind of stuck. He's too stubborn to realize he can't. He needs to adapt.
Yeah. So let's go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Manchester City. We briefly talked about them because they were on the good end of that thrashing. But we'll talk about them in detail, and we'll talk about Liverpool, Tottenham, and the rest of the EPL race when we return.
Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? The GSMC College Football Podcast is your ticket to all things college football. Join us as we talk college football from the national championship, the college rivalries, the bowl game, to the Heisman Trophy, to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, the Pac-12, ACC, and everything in between. Download the GSMC College Football Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, or anywhere you find podcasts. Just type GSMC in the search bar.
We'll be right back. And welcome back to the GSMC Soccer Podcast. Please look at the rest of our network of shows if you are interested in other sports. We do a daily sports show, of course. That's all-encompassing. But we do have our specialized shows, soccer, football, fantasy football, baseball, basketball. Am I missing anything? I think I'm good. I think I said them all.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Anyways, we talked about how embarrassing the 6-0 loss was for Chelsea, but let's talk about how impressive the 6-0 win was for Manchester City.
Oh, it was a complete domination.
Complete domination. I don't even know if that's even like...
strong enough word?
Yeah.
Annihilation?
Let's put it this
Annihilation?
Way.
Is that better?
Manchester City scored in the 4th minute, the 13th minute, the 19th minute, the 20th minute, the 56th minute... and the 80th.
So minute. They were just scoring at will, basically.
Yeah.
That's basically how you want to put it. So annihilation might be apocalyptic. They just destroyed, they genocided Chelsea.
They did something to them, that's for sure.
It's not like.
They did things that we're probably not allowed to say on air.
Don't show your children what happened, basically.
Yeah, they did a lot of things to Chelsea. None of them were family-friendly. None of them. If you had a kid watching that game, you'd cover their eyes. Let's put it that way.
Oh, if this was a fight, it would have been stopped at the first minute.
Oh, yeah.
There'd be blood everywhere.
We got to talk about Sergio Aguero, Manchester City legend. He has scored the biggest goal in their history when they won the English Premier League in, was it 2012? I believe it was 2012. When his goal in the 93rd minute sent them to the English Premier League title for the first time in like 40 years, some ridiculous number. He has continued to be a legend for the club. He is going to go down as maybe the best player to ever play for the club. If he's not, he's certainly in the conversation. He gets his 11th career hat trick in the English Premier League against Chelsea, tying him for the English Premier League record. His 11th time that he's hit the net 3 times in one game. In one league. How good is that?
That's getting it done.
And you want to know the crazy thing? He scored 3 goals in this game. But before he scored his first goal, he missed one of the easiest goals he'll ever get a chance to score in his career. He's sitting on the far post. The ball rolls to him. He has a complete entire side of the goal to shoot at.
I think he misses this wide.
It's one of those
cover your face,
you wish you weren't in the stadium moments. You know, like... 60,000 people just saw me do that.
Dig underground and bury yourself.
Yeah, like you couldn't feel, even though Aguero's like 5'6", he probably felt like he was 2'6" at that moment in time.
I think that's being generous for how he probably felt.
It was one of those where you just want to disappear. Like you just want to Homer Simpson into the bushes.
I think everyone's had that feeling. But that one was on a national, that was national stage. That probably felt a lot worse.
Yes. Absolutely. So... he ties the record. Alan Shearer has the record, another English legend, but he ties. Going back to Manchester City, though, not only did they win 6-0, but as of today, they're atop the English Premier League table. They do have one more game played than Liverpool, so they're even on points right now at 65, but Liverpool does have a game in hand to make up. But as of today, Manchester City is back in first for the first time. It's been a few months now. Liverpool had a lead. The lead is gone. The lead could be extended to 3 points. But are you feeling, if you're Manchester City, you went through kind of a bad spell. It looks like the machine is back on track. If you're City, do you still feel like it's your league to win?
Yes, I would say so myself. I wouldn't say like don't give up just yet. I think there's still plenty of games left. We're at 29 right now.
So City's at 27 played. They have 11 left. Liverpool has 12 left.
So yeah, why not? You got plenty of time.
There is plenty of time. Absolutely.
Like,
so
this is not a time to think about we got this or we don't got this. It's time to step up.
Yes. Also. Manchester City, they have Champions League to think about. They play Schalke in the round of 16. That first game is next week, midweek. So not only the English Premier League, but they'll have other competitions to focus on. including Liverpool. Liverpool also starts their round of 16 next week against Bayern Munich, so a tougher opponent for Liverpool. Will that make a difference in the league table? It just might. We will see. Going back to the English Premier League, though, in addition to City feeling like they're back in it, does Tottenham feel like they're back in it? They're on 60 points right now. They're level in games played with Liverpool, so they're five behind first. But they've been able to kind of tread water with Harry Kane and Dele Alli being out of the lineup. Do they feel like they are still in it? Remember, though, this team never wins. They always find a way to not win.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying because of the fact like they don't have a history of making these kind of performances worthwhile. But
it's also to be noted that the closest that they got was when Leicester City shockingly won the league. Tottenham finished second. That was their chance. Like, that was a bad year for the other top six.
I know Tottenham is at the hottest it's been all season right now, arguably. But losing Kane, I think, is going to make a big factor in if they're going to win this league or not. I think it's going to make a big factor when it comes down to closing time. And they proved me wrong so far. They've done excellent without him. And I'm saying kudos to you. You deserve what you that third place. But Liverpool and Manchester City are just at a level where I don't think anyone else can touch those
they're
two.
They're
just superior right now. Is that the word for it? I don't want to say superior. Just they're at a higher level than what Tottenham is right now.
Yeah, the quality is there for Tottenham, but the thing is that City and Liverpool are just a little bit more brutal.
Honestly, what Tottenham has done right now is extremely impressive, though.
But Liverpool and City have this gear. Like, they just have this...
Everyone has, like, there's five gears for all the teams. This team has a sixth and seventh.
Like, Liverpool and City have something about... I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's the players. But they can just turn it on and just be unplayable that day. Like, it's just like everybody go
They're
home.
Champions.
Like, everybody go home. Like, this team is too good today. I don't think Tottenham has that. Tottenham can be very good on days, and they can look super impressive. But I don't think they can ever have a game where, like, okay, like, no one's beating them today. Like, that can be said with City and Liverpool, but it can't be said with Tottenham.
Like, I'd like to see Liverpool and Manchester City play like champions, you know? Like, this team is usually in this position because they know they have this champion gear where very few can get to and succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how they are. And, like, this is going to be dead on between Manchester City and Liverpool. Tottenham is still there. Kudos to being how high they are at the moment. But I think bottom line is going down to two teams, and that's Liverpool and Manchester City. And honestly, it's hard to tell which one's really going to take home the championship.
Yeah, speaking of getting back on track, Liverpool with their 3-0 win against Bournemouth, who Bournemouth was coming off a 4-0 win over Chelsea. So Liverpool, they make a statement. Mohamed Salah, he scores. He's back on track. I think that was the kind of win that Liverpool needed, a comfortable win. They've had some struggling. They've struggled recently, even in their wins, to like look super impressive, but they get an easy win here. But I want to go back to Tottenham. They played in their first leg of the round of 16 in the Champions League yesterday, and they played Dortmund. They were at home. And, man, talk about impressive. 3-0 they win against Dortmund. And a lot of people thought that this was a 50-50 type of matchup in these two legs, a 50-50 type draw. Dortmund got spanked 3-0. That was no Alli, no Kane for Tottenham. It almost looks like this matchup is over, right? Going into the second leg, it's all but over, right?
Yeah.
Three goals? I mean, Dortmund's going to have to win. Dortmund is going to have to win 4-0.
Yeah.
If they win 3-0, they go to extra time and PKs. If Dortmund wins 3-1, they lose for...
one goal and it's over.
One goal, yeah. They lose. They literally lose if they give up a goal and they don't...
So they literally have to play the best they've ever played, and they're probably in existence.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is that if there's any home atmosphere that can put it on an opposing team, it's Borussia Dortmund. 100,000 people, probably the craziest home crowd ever in the history of soccer. Every single week that they play, nobody has a home atmosphere.
Oh, they're diehard. They would literally die for their team.
They push it. They go over the edge a lot. They're always in trouble.
They cross lines, absolutely.
There, so I will say, if there is a saving grace, like if there was, like if you got to pick anywhere in the world to like play this game and have an advantage, it'd be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, like we said, every time we hear something about a fan base going too far, it's usually them.
Yeah. So Christian Pulisic played for Dortmund yesterday. I thought they played pretty well, but they gave up two crucial goals at the end. So it went from a 1-0 loss to 2-3 at the very end, which is just obviously a blow, a heavy blow to them.
They could have easily come back from a 1-0.
In fact, I think if they would have lost 1-0, they would have been the favorite to advance. If they would have lost 1-0, everyone would have been like, oh, they could score 2 or 3.
Those two extra goals just put them into another level of hard.
So Tottenham, they are impressive in their first Champions League round of 16 game. Let's talk about another English Premier League team that had their first Champions League matchup of the round of 16, Manchester United. We talked about them with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. They have not lost up until their defeat the other day on Tuesday. They lose at home against a Neymar-less PSG team, a Cavani-less PSG team. But regardless, we know PSG has the firepower. Guys like Di Maria, of course, the young phenom, Kylian Mbappe. They win at Old Trafford 2-0. Were you surprised by this result?
Well, losing Neymar was a huge disadvantage for them, definitely. And with that, I will say I was a little surprised. But again, PSG's one of the elite teams in the world, so it's not as surprising as it is. But still, losing Neymar was a huge blow to this team. And if they were going to lose, this was going to be the time like they would lose. Like they would get taken advantage of a shortened and weakened roster. Mm-hmm. But they just proved that it's not just Neymar out there.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I'll go on record and saying I think Neymar's a little bit overrated in terms of, look, he's a flashy player. He's a fun player. But sometimes he's just not as clinical as guys like Messi and Ronaldo. And I think that's why he's in a different tier. He's below them. But Mbappe has the ability to just be that ruthless scoring player. Like, and we've seen it. And I don't think Neymar has that ruthlessness to his game. You know what I mean? Like that, like at any given moment, yeah, Neymar can score a goal. But like Ronaldo and Messi, the reason why they're so great is not just because of how awesome their skills are, how hard they can shoot the ball, how devastating they can leave defenders one-on-one. It's how in the crunch they show up and they score a goal that takes their team to the next level, takes their team through to the next round. And for me, Neymar's never really been that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Where Mbappe, I think, is starting to be that guy. And we have to remember, man, Mbappe's really young. He was one of the most impressive players on the French World Cup winning team. The kid is like 20 years old.
Isn't Neymar only like 22?
No. Neymar's like 27.
Oh, is he? Oh, I thought he was a lot younger than that.
No. Neymar's in his mid to late 20s for sure. Well, probably 27.
Oh, okay.
Mbappe is just very young, but man, I think, you know, some people compared him to the Thierry Henry, like the next Thierry Henry. He just might be that player. I thought what PSG did the other day was very good. I also thought that as well as Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been as a manager for Manchester United, I don't think he is that capable yet as a manager. We saw, I think the moment may have been too big for him. Now, I will say this. I thought Manchester United started out really well. Until Martial and Lingard got injured, I thought they played well, and I thought they were the likelier team to score. When he had to replace those two guys with Alexis Sanchez and Mata, who are not the same. Good players in their own right, but they have to slow the game down. They're not pacey like Martial and Lingard are. I really think that changed the game. I really think it made PSG
more... It had to change their game plan a little bit?
I think it made PSG more confident going forward because they weren't worried about the counterattack. Because those players, Alexis Sanchez and Mata, they're very good technical players, but they're not going to burn you on the counterattack. Martial will, Lingard will. Those are two of the faster players in the world. With Rashford up top, you got three very pacey players. But without them, you kind of get bogged down a little bit. And I think that gave PSG the ability to play higher up the field, ultimately changing the game.
Yeah, when you lose the guys that have that speed and that dangerous counterattack ability, it does bring the fact that PSG was like, we can attack as hard as we want. Mm-hmm. We can't be worried about them coming back and scoring right up after us. Like, this is a time to attack, and they attacked, and they continued to attack, and it was just only a matter of time before they scored, you know? It was just only
By the way,
Neymar
is 27 years old.
Oh, he is 27, okay.
I will confirm that, yeah. So
his hair looks like he's, like, just like he's 18.
And Mbappe just turned 20. Like, literally last
month.
That's
insane. So, wait, during the World Cup, he was 19.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He's already scored 10 goals for the French national team.
How long has he been on that team for?
He's appeared already 28 times.
So, he must
be. I'm telling you right now, Kylian Mbappe has the ability to be the leading scorer in French football history and one of the greatest to ever play this game.
So, he must have started at, what, like 17, roughly?
He's on pace to be the next Ronaldo or Messi because he's already one of the top 10 players in the world and he's 20 years old. Like, he's the youngest in that group of players. If you were to say who are the top 10, he's the youngest one.
That's insane.
He's a forward. He's super fast.
If anyone was younger, they wouldn't be legal.
He also reminds me a lot of Ronaldo at the beginning because when Ronaldo was a kid, he was skinny and fast. And Mbappe's skinny and fast. If Mbappe grows into his body, because he's 5'10".
Like, have a Ronaldo body.
He's not like a Hazard or a Messi size. He's more of a Ronaldo size. And Ronaldo was a skinny, wiry kid before he became a machine.
Yeah. So you're saying he could become the machine that Ronaldo is right now, body fit-wise.
Yeah. Like, Thierry Henry is the player that he's often compared to. And Thierry Henry was even more of a physical presence than Mbappe is. But Mbappe's 20. He has plenty of time to add strength to his game.
Hopefully, just sometimes, you know, when you see these young kids do this well, sometimes it gets to their head and they think they don't need to get better. I hope that's not the case for him, but that's something we should think about now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that unfortunately happens. Like, it's sometimes like they get too hyped and people are saying you're too good, and then that you take it for granted almost.
Yeah. So Mbappe, the next step of his career physically is to gain a little bit of strength, which he surely can.
Oh, he has tons of potential.
And then second is to become more of like a vocal leader because right now he is just a phenomenal player. But Neymar for
sure
is their captain.
I think that goes with like just time and just aging.
Yeah, he's 20 years old.
He's not like in theory, he's not like fully matured yet. He just got to get older and be more experienced. Then he can be that leader.
Yeah, so for Manchester United, a devastating loss. 2-0 at home, probably not going to advance. They also lost Paul Pogba, who got a red card late in that game. So he will not be participating.
That is going to hurt.
It looks like their Champions League will be over unless they complete a miracle comeback. So other than that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Real Madrid. We're going to talk about Sergio Ramos and the other upcoming Champions League fixtures when we return.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the GSMC Soccer Podcast. We just talked about some Champions League action, but we will not stop, my friend. We will continue on this journey as we navigate through the round of 16. The matchups that have happened, the matchups that are still to come. The one thing about the round of 16 is that it kind of is a drawn out, right? Like, you play your first leg, and then a couple weeks go by and you play your second leg. It's not back-to-back. Not 2 weeks.
You get time to recover in theory.
Yeah. So, but also some things can change in that time, right? Players can come back from injury. Players can get hurt. Like, things can happen. But one thing that did happen was Real Madrid wins 2-1 yesterday over Ajax. Not the easiest win for Real Madrid. An Ajax team that is super young but very impressive in their own right. In fact, man, if Ajax can keep this team together, they have the opportunity to maybe challenge some of the Europe's elite in the coming years. They're just a little bit green right now, but they're super talented. But they gave Madrid all that they could handle. In fact, they tied the game. If it wasn't for Marco Asensio scoring the 87th minute, they would have left with a draw. Madrid wins 2-1. But you want to know what was most notable about this game?
What was notable?
We had our first goal in the Champions League history disallowed from the use of VAR. And it was the right call.
So history was made. Yes. The game will never be the same.
So VAR has been introduced mid-tournament. I don't know how you feel about that, but they just decided midway through the tournament to
I don't like that.
But does it really change the game?
But I understand, like, in sense it doesn't, but don't change rules midway through a tournament.
Well, they did. And nobody's mad. So we'll just continue to do it.
In theory, like, but wouldn't you be like, what if they change a major rule or something like that? Wouldn't people be upset? Like,
but they're not. I mean, I get it. They're just trying to make the game.
I understand that. I don't like that.
It's
fact.
Not like they changed I don't think they changed a major rule. They just decided they're going to use a tool to help them get the calls right.
I don't think it's that big of a rule either. But I just got a bad.
I understand. I understand what you're saying.
Sour taste in my mouth because it's like change. If they change the major rule, you know, like that doesn't stop them from future rule changes during tournaments that will affect even more.
Yeah. So a player scored on a cross on a header, but another Ajax player was interfering with the goalkeeper for Real Madrid, and he was standing in offside position, so they called offside, which was the right call. They didn't get it in real time because it was a difficult kind of play to look at with a number of bodies in the area, but they got it right. Regardless, Madrid wins. Also,
if all the controversial like handballs that have happened in the past and all these other things, they should have said, why wasn't this here earlier?
Also, one thing that should be noted is Sergio Ramos committed a foul in the game to earn a yellow card.
Shocker.
Now, why is this important? Because with this yellow card, it meant that he is suspended for the next game.
That's what I thought.
However, in his post-game comments, he alluded to the fact that he did it on purpose because he wanted to get his suspension out of the way, which is a thing. This happens.
Okay.
Because
I thought he like was saying on purpose to intentionally hurt somebody.
No. On purpose to miss the next game so he doesn't miss the first game of the next round if they advance. Because they were winning 2-1 when he got the yellow card. So he's like, oh, well, let me get the suspension out of the way so then when we have to face our next opponent, whether it's a Barcelona.
Isn't he known for being a dirty player, though, too?
He's very known. He has the record in Spanish league for most red cards in a hit career. He's also known for being a very good player, though. He's a legend in his own right.
He's a great player, no doubt.
He can lose it, that's for sure.
Here's the problem, Jeff.
It is a tactic that teams and players use. Let's get this yellow card now so you serve a suspension in a game where we kind of already have wrapped up, right? Like, we already expect to win.
True.
However, him admitting that.
That should give him another
FIFA,
game, huh?
Yeah, yes, because now they can suspend him 2 games because of him. Because if they determine that you intentionally got a yellow card to do that, like if you intentionally break the rule like that, or use it to your advantage, you can be suspended for 2 games.
Which is good rule.
All eyes are on your UEFA to see if they will suspend him for 2 games.
Well, it sounds like, he didn't openly admit it, did he?
No, he said, his quote, I got to find it, but he basically said, yes, UEFA is already to investigate Ramos' second yellow. What he said was, With the result, I would be lying if I said I did not force the card. It was something I had in mind. It is not about underestimating the opponent or thinking the tie is already over, but in football, there are difficult decisions to make, and I decided to do it. So, yeah, he admitted
it. Okay, yeah. When he said, I decided to do it, that's him admitting it. If he let it after before that, then that's only allegedly, you know what I mean? But he says, that's why I did it. He's
also been in trouble for this before. He's done this before and got reprimanded.
It sounds like he's getting suspended for the second game in the first leg of the next round if they continue on.
Right.
That's some players just need to know when to shut up, you know?
Yes. Real Madrid, though. Real Madrid, they've had a good week. They beat Atletico Madrid over the weekend 3-1. That moves them to second place in La Liga. Still, they trail leaders Barcelona. But now Real Madrid has clawed back after a very tumultuous start to the season. They're at 45 points, which is one higher than Atletico Madrid. Jeff, they are 6 points behind Barcelona. They do play each other another time. Is there still a chance that Real Madrid could sneak in and win the league? Or is it Barcelona's and that's it? They're two wins behind. They both have 15 games left. So they still have a lot of games left.
That is a tough one, but, you know, it's Barcelona. That's why I'm saying I think it might just go to them in the long run, but I don't want to leave them out. That's a tough one. But if I had to put money on it, I think I'm sticking with Barcelona.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Borussia Dortmund, their lead in the German league is only 5 points now, as Bayern Munich has clawed within 5 points. 13 games left for both teams. Is Borussia Dortmund, well, they look like they're going to be knocked out of the Champions League. Let's just be honest. So they may have only this to focus on, but do you think that they have won this league, or do you think that Bayern Munich might come back? Bayern Munich has won the league, I think, like 6 times in a row. They've won it a ton of times.
No, I think I got to stick to Barcelona. Got to stick with the...
No, I'm talking about Bayern Munich.
Oh, Bayern's going to win, yeah. That sounds
you
like
you think they're going to overcome the deficit?
Won the last 6 times?
Yeah, they're 5 points behind right now.
It sounds like they're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You don't put your money against the team that's won 6 in a row.
What about Juventus? They are 11 points ahead of Napoli in the Italian league. They're still undefeated.
Yeah, they're no way. They're losing. They're winning hands down.
Do you think they'll be undefeated?
Honestly, I can see it happening. It's not impossible.
It is interesting.
With the addition of Ronaldo, anything's possible.
Well, they also have Champions League to think about. They play Atletico Madrid next week. Are you excited about that matchup?
Oh yeah, that's a pretty tight matchup too.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that had people salivating over when the draw first was announced. So here's next week's action. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Liverpool Bayern Munich on Tuesday, Lyon Barcelona on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday we have Juventus Atletico Madrid, Manchester City Schalke. Some really good teams playing next week.
Is some really good teams playing.
So, yeah. Other than that, is there anything else you'd like to add in for our show today?
I'm good.
All right, perfect. So, join us next week as we will discuss the latest in the Champions League, the latest in the English Premier League, and, of course, the major leagues around the world, the major teams around the world. And we will see you then. Have a great week, everybody, and enjoy yourselves.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.